Another chilly January day, January 14th, Tuesday. Highs today of only 55, and that's going to be late in the afternoon. Right now it's 40, feels like 34. Somebody texted in, thanks for the Jimmy Buffett, but I'm still freezing. Nothing I can do about that. Jacques Thibodeau, Colonel Jacques Thibodeau joins us now, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Morning, Colonel. How are you?
Good morning, sir. How's it going today?
It's cold is how it is, but I guess, you know, it's better than being 95, right? Or at least that's what I say today. Then when it's 95, I'll say, man, I sure wish it was cold, but that's human nature. Let's talk about the governor's plan and your plan, GOSEP's plan, to deal with the homeless in New Orleans in this center. Let's start from the get-go, Colonel, and talk about where the center is going to be and what it's going to look like.
Well, the center is on France Road. 5601 France Road, and what it is, it's designed as a transitional center that provides wraparound services for the homeless population. And that means medical, that means mental health counseling, that means free hot meals, that means shower facilities, that means a safe place for them to stay over the course of the time from now all the way through the Super Bowl and through Mardi Gras.
So what happens after Mardi Gras?
Well, the first thing that I'll tell you is that we're faced with an unprecedented situation here in Louisiana, and the first that we've had nationally since 9/11. We have not had a terrorist attack with two major Department of Homeland Security events in 65 days since 9/11. So what we are, this plan is initial plan to prepare for and respond to these two Department of Homeland Security Tier 1 events, which are the highest risk level events. And part of that element is the ingress and egress routes. We provide this transition center as a safe place for these homeless citizens to be. And we hope that it jumpstarts the conversation on providing them the opportunity for a better life and future through this initial plan in a broader strategy of attacking the homeless situation across the state.
Let's talk about the security aspect of this. Is it to protect the homeless, or is it to protect people that are not homeless and people that are here for the Super Bowl, Mardi Gras, so that security, law enforcement can distinguish who's who and that kind of thing? Colonel, take me through that, if you would.
Okay, well, one of the biggest strategies that we have is to look at all the facility around the French Quarter and the events that are occurring, and look at the ingress and egress routes. Mm-hmm. That is a primary state mission to secure by the Department of Transportation and Development and the State Police. So as we look at those ingress and egress routes coming and to have the homeless population in some of these major routes of transportation, either under an overpass or near an ingress or egress, presents a safety issue for them and for individuals that are moving through that area. So that's what this transition center is designed to do. We don't leave anybody behind. We want to make sure that everyone is safe for these two events. And the homeless people will have a safe place to be for this event. And it's a voluntary aspect for them, and it gives them the opportunity to be in this transition center. But the ingress and egress location is restrictive, and we just will not allow people there because of the security needs.
Tell me about the facility itself. What is it? Is it a big, giant building? Is it something that's been converted? They got bunks in there? What's it going to look like?
Well, it's a warehouse building, and it's got the vendor that we're using, the contractors providing tents. So it will be a facility that has medical stations. They will have mental health counseling. They will have shower facilities. They will have feeding, and they will have a warm place to sleep over the next roughly 60 days.
And there will be segregated areas for men and women, obviously, and some kind of security there?
Yes, there is. It's a complete wraparound transition center that you would see. There are administrative personnel, there are security personnel, there are segregated areas, of course, and there are just basically complete wraparound services is the way we describe it.
When it comes to terms here, and I get some texts here from people saying warehousing the homeless, because you mentioned it was a warehouse building. But, I mean, one person's warehouse is another person's shelter, right? It all depends on what services are available for the homeless. And, Colonel, when I first heard about this, to me it seemed like a good idea, on the surface, the only issue I would have is what happens after Mardi Gras. Thoughts on that?
Well, the first piece is everyone gets deserves to be treated with dignity and respect. And that's what this will do for this portion of the time. Now, it's our intention to ask for a Presidential Stafford Act declaration, which we have already done, to have the federal government defer and absorb the cost of this shelter. And of course, there's always a concern as to what happens after. What I will say is at least we're providing 65, 70 days in the short term, and we just hope that it does spark a larger conversation about how we can address it as a parish and city and state and then as a nation.
I'm gonna be honest here and just tell you my initial reaction to this was I thought it was a good idea because it takes the homeless people and it gives them a place to live. It provides them access to the things that they need. When it comes to tourist areas and other areas, it prevents any incursion on that, okay? And it seems to me like a really good idea. What pushback are you getting? Well, tell you what, Colonel, let me take a break. We'll pick it up. We come back, okay? Because I want to know what kind of pushback you're getting because it seemed like a good idea. And the other question I have is that when it comes to low-barrier shelters, I've heard a lot of negative stuff about low-barrier shelters, some positive where, like you're talking about, medical help and psychological help and everything else to get people back on their feet. And I know there is a thought out there that people want to be homeless. I don't think that's the case for the majority of people. I think a lot of them out there are working and homeless. And I know there are plans, we'll talk to Leslie Harris later, about getting them into housing. But I think what you're doing here seemed like a good idea to me because you're not just dispersing people. They're still together. They're just together in a different and maybe safer location. You can address all of that when we come back. Talking to Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, GOSEP, about the new transitional shelter center that they're opening, shelter, whatever you want to call it, on France Road. 720 traffic now, WWL. It's 7:25, Tommy Tucker, WWO. Quickly back to Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness, talking about the new transitional center for homeless people in the area that's going to open on France Road. So I mentioned a couple of things before the break, Colonel, about it seems as though a really good idea. What kind of pushback are you getting from people, if any?
Well, first off, I think your comments are spot on. I think you hit the center of what we're trying to get to here. And everybody's working towards the same goal. The first aspect of it is our thoughts and prayers go out to all the families that either had a family member that was killed or injured. And then we're all working towards a common goal of trying to get through the Super Bowl and through Carnival in a safe manner for the millions of people that will be in the great city of New Orleans. So I don't think there's a term of pushback. I think that what you have is you have a conversation about what is a short-term transitional center and sheltering versus a long-term strategy. And I think in the end, we all have the same goal to try to eradicate homelessness across the state and the nation.
There is a balance between the working poor and people that are homeless and working and trying to get to work. I know we're going to talk to Leslie Harris about that and location on France Road. However, there also is a concern. Everything's a balance, right, Colonel, with the security portion of it, the tourism part of it. It gets down to if you're homeless and in a bad spot, how convenient should it be for you as it relates to the needs of everybody else? And that's kind of what you're trying to achieve here.
Yes, absolutely. One of the things from GOSEP's standpoint, our primary job is to bring agencies together for a common mission, whether it be at the local level, the parish level, or the state level. That's what our job is, and that's exactly what we're trying to achieve here, is to treat them with dignity and give them a safe place to be, to where they're not at risk, and they have the opportunity to have some of those wraparound services.
So we've heard about low barrier shelters and different types of barriers. Are there going to be any type of drug testing? Any kind of no alcohol allowed when it comes to this facility?
Well, the first aspect of a shelter is it's got to be safe. Okay, it has to be safe. So the security measures that are there is designed for the safety that are of the people there. And it is a low barrier shelter, which means it's a voluntary shelter for the people to stay in and out of. They're not confined to that area, but while they're in that area, they're subject to the security requirements of being safe. There's no illegal drug uses. There's no crimes allowed that obviously we would state. But in this realm, it is a voluntary shelter.
When it comes to getting this thing up and running, how hard, what are the logistics of that? Is it up and running now? When do you start moving people, or has that happened already?
It is up and running. We've been in discussions about it prior to the situation with the terrorist attack. But the terrorist attack, when the governor declared the state of emergency, really ramped up GOCEF's action. So it is up and running. It will start tomorrow and will be open at 5 a.m. And we will begin to transition people into the transition center and provide them the safe location for roughly 65 days.
So will they be forced to go there? Will they be allowed to stay under the overpass? Somebody texted in if they want to. What's the situation there, Colonel?
No, the situation with that is an ingress and egress route that has been deemed an area that we must secure for this DHS event. So they will not be allowed to stay there, but they will be given options. They will be given options if they choose to have a bus ticket to go to a different climate or location, for example. That will be afforded to them. And then they will be given the opportunity to go to the transition center, or they will have to move from the location where they are. So yep, there's multiple options there.
I want to drill down on that for 1 second. I might be 30 seconds late for news here. I'll warn them ahead of time. But when it comes to a bus ticket or train ticket, so if they say, you know what, I got family here or there, I want to go to Miami, I want to go to wherever, Houston, that'll be available to them? You'll give them a bus ticket or whatever?
Yes, that's part of the strategy. If they have a family member where they can get back on their feet, that's one of the things we definitely want to offer to them.
And real quick, before we let you go, again, I think this is a good idea because nothing's going to be perfect no matter what you do. My only concern is the longevity of this. And are you guys looking at maybe keeping this going after Mardi Gras, or does it depend on funding, Colonel? What's the long-range plan?
Well, right now it's just going through the process of getting through these two events. We're hoping that we get a Stafford Act declaration that allows the federal government to absorb the costs. But right now it's just through the end of Carnival.
If you do get the Stafford Act, would this be a semi-permanent thing or a long-range thing?
That's something that there will be discussions about between the president, whether it be President Biden or President Trump, and the governor himself.
Well, it's going to be Biden. It better hurry up. Just kidding, Colonel. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. Colonel Jacques Thibodeau, Director of the Governor's Office of Homeland Security and Emergency Preparedness. Steve Geller on the other side of the news. Then we'll talk to Leslie Harris, get her take on this. Minute late. Sorry, guys. Time for WWL First News. 7:46, 14 till 8. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. How you doing, Steve?
Doing good, Tommy. Coming off that high of five straight days of playoff football between college and NFL, it was awesome.
Any surprises as far as you're concerned with the NFL playoffs?
To me, I guess it shouldn't be too surprised, but I did not see the Texans being able to overmatch the Chargers like that. I thought this would be the Chargers' year to at least go a little bit further in the postseason, but same old Chargers over there, new head coach, it didn't even matter.
Yeah, those four interceptions didn't help.
No, not at all.
Let's talk about the Saints and the Mickey Loomis press conference yesterday. Some of the things that got your attention.
With Mickey Loomis talking yesterday, you know he's not going to say too much to the media, but there were little nuggets out of that I thought were pretty surprised. Basically, no major overhaul he feels is needed for this franchise right now, despite, you know, finishing with just five wins this past season. Mentioning the fact that Director of Pro Personnel, Michael Parenton, and also the VP and Assistant General Manager, Jeff Ireland, with college personnel, their jobs are safe going forward. He has no intentions of replacing them. And Mickey kind of scoffed at the rumors of him being, you know, thinking about retirement and said that's not the case. The only thing he's thinking of is getting back to winning football and getting the Saints organization back to the playoffs. But like I said, the big one for me was no changes with your talent evaluators. And I thought at least that was a position considering the last few drafts we've had with this Saints club, that there could be a change coming there, whether with Parenton or Ireland. But Mickey definitely said that will not be the case, and both will be retaining their job going forward. No surprise that, you know, he's high on the team right now. Thinks there's still a lot you can build on after this disappointing season, and really laid a lot of it onto the injuries, which you can't fault him there. I know it sounds like an excuse, but when you look at your quarterback, your running back, your top receiver, and, you know, offensive lineman, a lot more in the mix with that. But what we saw from this team in the first 2 weeks, sadly, was not the team we saw throughout the rest of the year. And that kind of became the big, I guess you would say, excuse for Mickey Loomis not making a sweeping amount of changes going forward. And also said that they won't block any assistant coaches from taking interviews with other teams. Everybody's got their job safe for now, but obviously that's something that could change dramatically too when this team does hire a new head coach and they want to bring in their staff, because Mickey Loomis said also that he would not block the head coach, whoever they do hire, from wanting to make changes for staff members that they wanted to bring in.
Look, age is just a number. I'm a firm believer in that, but I had no idea Mickey Loomis was 68 years old. I thought he was like 50-something.
Well, Mickey will love to hear you say that, that's for sure.
I had no idea, really, I didn't. But let me just say this, and I'm looking at a story here from somebody, I don't know where it's at online, but they use the word scapegoat when it comes to injuries. But I deliberately asked you about the playoffs coming into this because I'm watching the playoffs and I'm thinking, okay, well, what if Saquon Barkley goes down? What if Jalen Hurts goes down? What if Jaden Daniels goes down? What if Lamar Jackson goes down? What if Derrick Henry goes down? Well, you're talking about a different team, right? And I don't like the word scapegoat. I think sometimes there are cause and effect. And I don't think you can talk about what an impact player Taysom Hill is, what an impact player Alvin Kamara is, the importance of continuity at offensive line. I don't think you can just write all that off and saying, well, injuries happen. I think you have to look at the depth and the severity of the injuries, how long they affected the team. And this doesn't change anything about the draft history or anything else. But I do think there is some cause and effect there that people might be in an emotional response overlooking here about the Saints being so hard hit with injuries. And I'll shut up after this and let you talk. You can't just throw that together in week 15 and hope it all gels.
No, you know, we talked about the injuries obviously all season long being an issue with this team, and it's not an excuse. It's definitely a reality with this club. Mickey Loomis did address it, saying, you know, it was more prevalent this season than in the past, and they have to look into things and things that the connection with the New Orleans Pelicans having similar injury issues is just a coincidence and, you know, nothing in the building. He kind of joked that, you know, David Griffin, their executive vice president for the Pelicans, even joked maybe it's something in the water at the facility. And I've made that joke. I don't know.
I think it's what they're waxing the floors with. That's what I would look at.
But yeah, between the injuries of the Saints and Pelicans to key players, it's not just one or two either. It's hard not to put it on that, especially since we saw what this team was able to do the first 2 weeks. Sure, it was against the Panthers and the Dallas Cowboys, but they looked like a juggernaut. And then once Eric McCoy went down in that Philadelphia Eagles games, it seemed like everything else just kind of fell apart for the Saints.
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk head coaching when we come back. We're talking to Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. Mickey Loomis at his press conference yesterday, 7:52, 8 till 8, traffic now, WWL. 7:57, 3 till 8. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. Mickey Loomis' press conference yesterday. Did he tip his hand at all, or did you get any idea about who the new Saints coach might be, or what are you hearing?
Nothing definitely tipped from Mickey, basically going into that it's going to be a process. They want to talk to everybody that's on their list of candidates and promise to be very thorough about it, looking to, you know, restore greatness to the franchise, a new leader of men, basically, to, you know, carry forward with this franchise that has missed the playoffs the last 4 years. They've completed three interviews so far and have some more lined up towards the end of this week as teams get ready for the divisional round of the playoffs.
You know, I was talking to Cajun Cannon about the salary cap issues. He said that maybe a guy like John Gruden, he mentioned that name, would be more willing to take the job given the salary cap issues than would an Aaron Glenn, who is looking to make a name for himself as a head coach. And Mike Dettelier said that Aaron Glenn would probably like to take the opportunity. But then the name Mike McCarthy comes up, and I'm thinking, in terms of the salary cap, established coach, looking to get well after the tampering by Jerry Jones, this might be an ideal situation for Mike McCarthy. Thoughts?
Yeah, I think that McCarthy is a damn good candidate. A lot of folks poo-poo it because it's just of his, you know, affiliation with the Dallas Cowboys. Was there since 2020, finished with a record of 49-35 as their head coach over 5 years, a winning percentage of .583, had three playoff appearances. He's got the experience, won a Super Bowl in Green Bay. I don't hate the idea of bringing in Mike McCarthy for an interview at all with this team. We're going to see also Cliff Kingsbury, the Commanders offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, the Eagles OC, and a name folks are familiar with here, Joe Brady, Bills offensive coordinator, still in the mix for the job as well. Those interviews will be coming towards the end of the week as all three of those teams get ready for the postseason.
10 seconds left. Is McCarthy scheduled for an interview or not?
No, nothing scheduled yet. It's just all in the rumor mill right now that they expect to get something set up with him soon.
I will quote Vic Scirro, believe no rumor till it comes from Steve Geller. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Have a good day. All right, Steve Geller, WWL Sports Director. We'll talk to Leslie Harris. We come back, New Orleans City Council member, get the other side, or at least her side, of this new homeless facility that they're building on France Road. A lot going on. Tommy Tucker, WWL.